On a day such as this, we pray the car won't let us down. But winter sneers and the battery bails, the bulbs blow, the wipers wipe out. Can anyone save you?
Yes, you. Come to Halfords. We'll check your wiper blades, batteries, bulbs, oil and windscreen. We'll even top up your screen wash, all completely free. And we're open late, 7 days a week. Find your local store now at halfords.com. Ready for the cold snap? Ready for anything. Halfords, for life's journeys.
Subject to availability. Opening times vary.
Monday, December 3rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world. And trust me, after watching this weekend in sports, if you didn't take just a second to laugh at some of the sports world, I don't know, because there are a couple of things going on out there in sports that needed to be laughed at. We'd much rather just do that here at The Dose. Hey, happy Monday to you. We are back to work again. You might not know this, but back in 1956, on this day, December 3rd, basketball icon Wilt Chamberlain made his much-anticipated varsity debut. Because remember, at that time, freshmen were not allowed to play varsity basketball. So as a sophomore, he makes his varsity debut at the University of Kansas. And what does Wilt Chamberlain do in his very first game as a collegiate athlete? Wilt goes out. In that first game, he scores 52 points. He grabs 31 rebounds. He breaks both all-time Kansas records in an 87-69 win against Northwestern. Can you even fathom a kid coming out now at a major university and dropping 50 plus points in his first collegiate game, grabbing 30 plus rebounds in his first collegiate game? Can you imagine the crazy hot takes and overreactions we would be hearing that week? I mean, ESPN would be doing specials. Is Wilt Chamberlain as good as LeBron James? Of course, they would say he wasn't. And they'd be saying things like, if Wilt Chamberlain played in the SEC, he'd have only scored 14 points. But, you know, he plays in that whole Big 12 thing, so I mean, he got 52. I mean, it would have been a whole thing is what I'm saying. Back then, what was it? There was probably like a blurb in the Lawrence Journal or something, but I bet it wasn't quite the story that it would be now if it took place. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know why you think Wilt Chamberlain maybe is the best player ever. Hey, you can make a case for it. Look at his numbers. You can make a case for Wilt. I don't know if I buy it, but you can definitely make a case for it. But hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com. Or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't even have to be Wilt Chamberlain related. Maybe you've got a list or a question that you would like us to cover. Maybe you have a comment about the show. Maybe there is a certain situation you need a little advice on. Send it. We will always take the time to get back to you and get you an answer. And we just might end up using it on the show. Hey, you know, before we get into some things, remember, it is now officially December. We are into the holiday season. I know you have some shopping to do. Well, as usual, the Daily Dose is here to help you out. Go over to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose in the search box. There you will find Daily Dose t-shirts. You got long sleeve, you got short sleeve, you got Daily Dose hoodies, you got lightweight hoodies, you've got regular hoodies, you've got zip-up hoodies, you've got Daily Dose coffee mugs, Daily Dose notebooks, Daily Dose cell phone cases, laptop cases. You've even got stickers just to put on various items that you may have. And if you see an item over there that we don't have our Daily Dose logo on and you want it, just let us know. Reach out to us. We would be glad to add that as well. Everything over at tpublic.com is reasonably priced. They can ship it to you in plenty of time for the holidays. So if you have that special Daily Dose listener on your holiday list, you might want to head over to tpublic.com, get some of that holiday shopping done. Hey, today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we spent all weekend watching sports. To the point that I was probably getting some looks from family members saying, really? You're going to watch this game too? Really? We're not going anywhere because you're watching every single game that's on? Yes, I watched a lot of sports. But you know what? There were so many interesting things going on in the world of sports. And we never want to just watch sports and not take something from it. We always want to see if there's something we can learn from it. Trust me on this, there was plenty to learn from this particular weekend in sports. So let's jump right in, because let's start in the world of college football. And what we learned was very, very big. We learned that the college football playoff is now set. We have our four teams. We know who's in. We know who is going to be playing for the championship. Go ahead and let the screaming begin. And you could hear the screaming beginning yesterday. And wow, was there some screaming going on. So let's take a look at who did make the college football playoff. Starting off with the number one seed, of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, they did have to pull out a victory that looked like they could be in trouble on Saturday evening. They had to come back from 14 points down in the second half to beat the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC Championship. I looked at Georgia in that game, and I thought, I don't know, they might be one of the four best teams in the country to me. Now, not only did Alabama have to mount a comeback, but they had to do it without starting quarterback and Heisman contender Tua Tagovailoa, who went down a few times with various injuries. It looked like ankle injuries a couple of different times into both ankles. And Tua Tagovailoa did not look sharp in the game when he was in prior to that. On the day, Tagovailoa goes 10 of 25 for 164 yards. He did have a touchdown. He also threw two interceptions. Now, bench senior Jalen Hurts comes on in relief. What does he do? Like, you couldn't write this story. There's no way this would actually happen in real life, right? Jalen Hurts comes in, a kid that had been benched for the sophomore in his final season. All he's done is win. Yes, there's been times he's struggled a little bit to throw the ball down the field, but all Jalen Hurts does when he gets in games is win ball games. His record is incredible. He gets benched for the more talented sophomore. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't really complain about it. The media tried to drum some things up, but Jalen Hurts went to the bench, said, hey, I'm staying here. I'm not transferring. I'm not going anywhere. We are still going to go on and win. What does Jalen Hurts do when he comes on in relief of Tagovailoa? He passes for a touchdown, and he runs for a touchdown to give Alabama the lead. Like I said, if you had written this story as a Hollywood script, we would have went, come on. Like, that's way too corny. That is never going to happen. Are you kidding me? He's really going to come in and lead his team from behind in the last second. Yeah, right. That's exactly what happened. Here is a clip of Jalen Hurts scoring the winning touchdown that gave Alabama the lead. This comes to us from CBS.
First down. Remember, they missed it and went to overtime. Just inside the 16, quarterback draw, Jalen Hurts, touchdown!
Okay, but we all knew if Alabama won their game, they would be getting in, right? So who else got in? Coming back, we still have a ton to get to in college football. What other teams made the Final Four playoff? Who got left out? And who would I have left out of that Final Four? I would not have gone the same way as the playoff committee did. I will say that. Plus, we saw a number of surprises in the NFL this weekend. And I'll tell you right now, they were not all on the field. So let's continue on with what we learned from the weekend in sports. And let's continue to look at which teams did get into that college football playoff. Alabama comes in at number one. If they won, we all knew that would be the case. They've been the number one team all season. Coming in at number two, the number two Clemson Tigers pounded the Pitt Panthers 42-10 in the ACC Championship. So, of course, Clemson gets in as well. Now, they haven't played the toughest schedule, but, I mean, they did win the ACC, whatever. I do think Clemson is definitely one of the four or five best teams in the country. No problem, Clemson gets in. At number three, you have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who have gone undefeated this season. Now, remember, they didn't play anyone on Saturday. They aren't in a conference. Keep that in mind. Notre Dame skates in. At number four, we weren't sure who was going to get in. Would it be the Oklahoma Sooners, who did win their Big 12 championship against Texas? Would it be the Georgia Bulldogs, who, hey, gave Alabama the best game we have seen anyone give Alabama in this past year? And don't forget, going back to last year, played Alabama tougher than anyone else. Bama had to come from behind and beat them in overtime last year. So maybe it'd be Georgia. Or maybe it would be Ohio State, who did win the Big Ten championship by beating Northwestern on Saturday. Well, the final spot in the playoff goes to the Oklahoma Sooners. They hold off the Texas Longhorns in the Big 12 championship 39-27, and they did their best all day not to make any naughty Longhorn hand gestures, because we know the Big 12 values that sort of thing. No. No dirty hand gestures. Don't do that. Well, it's not really dirty. Is it a vulgar hand gesture? No, but you have the horns. The horns are supposed to go up and you make them go down. That's bad. You're not allowed to do that. So Oklahoma manages to do that. So in the college football playoff that will be coming up on Saturday, December 29th, you will have number one Alabama facing number four Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. We will obviously be talking about that as it gets closer. Then in the Cotton Bowl, you will have the Clemson Tigers sitting at the number two seed playing the number three seed Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Both those games, Saturday, December 29th, should be highly entertaining. But here's the question. Do I agree with the top four? Honestly, I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. I don't know that anyone really got screwed. I know that a lot of times we're going to look at it and we're going to say, hey, this team should have got in. They got jobbed by the committee. They should have got in. Hey, Ohio State, if you would like to get in, and I understand you won the Big Ten, but if you want to get in, don't get blown out by Purdue. Don't look very, very average for most of the year. Stop giving up 30 big plays a game. Then you have some room to complain. But you did all those things. You got blown out by Purdue. You got handled. And all year, we've seen you struggle to beat pretty average teams. Georgia, you want to get in? And you can make a very good case that the Georgia Bulldogs should have got in. Hey, don't lose to LSU. Now, I don't know that I really hold the Alabama loss against them that much, to be honest. The only reason that Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, whoever else you want to throw out there, didn't lose to Alabama is because they didn't play Alabama. Georgia played Alabama, gave them all they wanted for four quarters. So I don't really hold that against them. But Georgia, don't lose to LSU by what, 10? I don't necessarily feel bad for you when you don't get in. But you know, I was watching the playoff selection show and I kept hearing things that just, they didn't make any sense to me. Like I was sitting there going, wait a second, who's listening to this and going, oh yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. There were a few things being said during that selection show that I didn't understand. The playoff committee stated, because they had the chairman step up there and he made a few comments and he kind of said why they picked who they picked. He stated that they didn't put the Georgia Bulldogs into the playoff because they deem winning a conference title to be more important than strength of schedule. So as a result, Oklahoma gets in because they won the Big 12, even though Georgia had a better strength of schedule. Okay, that makes sense. Hey, I'm going to take Oklahoma. They won the Big 12. Georgia, you didn't win your conference, so you don't get in. We don't care about strength of schedule. The most important thing is, did you win your conference title? Fair enough. But hold on one second. The committee might be talking out both sides of their mouth here, because remember that they have Notre Dame in their top three. They didn't even play in a conference title game. So it's important as much as you deem it important for your own agenda, but slow down on conference titles being the end-all be-all, because Notre Dame isn't in a conference. Notre Dame didn't even play in a conference game. Notre Dame certainly didn't win a conference title. So don't sit there and blow smoke at me and say, well, it's all about the conference titles. Your number three team didn't even play in a conference title game. What are you talking about? Now, if I was picking the top four teams, I would probably change things up a little bit. I'm sorry, but I would. I would probably go Alabama at one. I would probably go Clemson at two. I would probably move Oklahoma to three. And I would probably put the Georgia Bulldogs at four. And I'm not hating on Notre Dame. They have been very impressive, and I think they are right there. But you didn't play that tough of a schedule, and you didn't play a conference title game. So you certainly didn't win a conference title. Plus, it allows you to make a statement, playoff committee, that you actually do value conference titles instead of just saying you do value them. Because right now you say it, but we can see you don't really value them, except when they fit the agenda you want them to fit. But again, I'm fine with the four that are in. Am I okay with Notre Dame being in? Yes, that's fine. Would I have changed it a little bit because they didn't win their conference title? Yeah, they might, because they're not in a conference, so they can't win a conference title. I think if you would have done that, I think we would have seen Notre Dame screaming, the playoff needs to be expanded, or they're going to go join a conference. They would have been furious that they didn't get in. And for that reason, I probably would have done it. But that's just me. That's just me. You know how I am. All right, let's move on. We did also learn that Kansas State head coach Bill Snyder is finally going to retire after coaching the Wildcats for 74 years, I think. You know, Snyder started coaching in Manhattan back in, let's say, 1942. Sounds right. Something like that. And at the age of 194, Bill Snyder has decided he's had enough. You know, it's funny because when Bill Snyder took over at Kansas State in 1989, okay, so I might have been off with my numbers a little bit. The Wildcats were actually in the middle of a 27-game winless streak. They had only appeared in one bowl in the 77-year history of Kansas State football. 5 days before Snyder's first football game, Sports Illustrated called Kansas State Futility U. They had an article about it in their magazine, and they talked about college football's most hapless team. Now, at the time, here is what Bill Snyder had to say. There is only one school in the nation that has lost 500 games. This is it, and I get to coach it. You know, Snyder somehow found a way to turn things around. He went 215 and 117-1 over 27 seasons at Kansas State, including a 128-89-1 record in the Big 12. He won the Big 12 twice at Kansas State. Prior to Snyder, no one would have ever thought Kansas State would be anything but a doormat. Kansas State was the most popular homecoming game for opponents in the Big 8 back in the day. Like, if you were having homecoming, you said, okay, let's see, when can we pencil in Kansas State? Oh yeah, there's our homecoming game right there. Whenever Kansas State is coming to town, it might have to be in September. We're having homecoming a little early this year. That is how Kansas State football was. They were bad. Like, they were like Rutgers bad or something like that. Somehow, Bill Snyder got them to compete. It is absolutely the end of a very special era for Kansas State. I also did learn that watching all this college football playoff stuff that was coming out this weekend, it really makes people act like jerks. And I would use a different word than jerks, but iTunes would probably kick me off for language and stuff like that. You know, I'm watching some of the Twitter muscles being flexed on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and I'm seeing people that aren't just your average Joes. I'm seeing like media people, like people in sports media. They are saying things like, hey, if you don't have Ohio State in your Final Four, then you're just biased against the Big Ten. You're just biased against Urban Meyer because they absolutely belong. Eh, okay, I guess. I saw people saying things like, if you don't have Oklahoma in your Final Four, you should be placed in the stocks and publicly flogged. Okay, might want to slow down a little bit. And I even saw people, again, sports media people, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, saying silly things like, if you don't have Central Florida in your Final Four, then you are a Nazi and you should be kicked out of this country. Hey, slow down. I understand that in our country right now, we're extremely bored. We're looking for things to fight about. But can we not take ourselves or these college football games quite so seriously? And brief side note, I watched a decent portion of that Central Florida game that they had their American Athletic Conference title game against Memphis on Saturday. I'm just saying this. And last year, I do think Central Florida could definitely have been in an 8-team playoff. This year, that Central Florida team is not as good, especially without Mackenzie Milton. Right now, Central Florida has no business anywhere near a playoff. You allowed 41 points to a team with a power ranking just ahead of Appalachian State and Maryland. Slow down on bring on Alabama. Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to go well for you. I'll say this. And when I say this, you're going to be like, Clint, you're just talking junk and you're just, you know, and that's just hyperbole. I honestly believe this. The University of Oklahoma, I honestly believe, would score 100 points on Central Florida if they faced them in a game. And they're the number 4 seed. And again, I'm not exaggerating. I literally believe Oklahoma would light the third digit if they face Central Florida. And stop with the, well, they're undefeated. Oklahoma's getting in. They're not undefeated. Central Florida is at least undefeated. Well, you know what? Princeton is undefeated this year. North Dakota State is undefeated this year, but they're FCS teams, so it's different. You don't get to be in the playoff when you're FCS teams. This year, right now, I look at Central Florida and I'm like, hey, it's a great story. What you've done there is amazing. But stop acting like you're this giant killer. You haven't played anyone. You shouldn't be anywhere near the playoff. Now, we did actually learn a few of the New Year's Day bowl games. Central Florida is going to be facing LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. I will be very interested to see how that game goes, and I'll tell you why. Because we know how much LSU hates Auburn. And remember, Auburn got beat last year by Central Florida. You just know LSU would love to beat them and then look at Auburn and go, so they beat you? What happened there? I mean, we handled them. It was no problem. They beat you last year. What was going on there? You just know LSU can't wait to do that. A couple other games on New Year's Day. Washington will face Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, thereby crushing my dream of an Ohio State versus Texas bowl game. Aww. I know. Very, very sad. Upsets me a little bit. In the Citrus Bowl, we will have Penn State versus Kentucky. Should be an interesting game. And Texas will be playing Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Of course, as we get closer, we will look at some of the better bowl games that are out there. I would imagine there will be a few sneaky ones that we'll want to talk about as we do get a little bit closer. Finally, in college football, I learned that while the big story this weekend, of course, was the college football playoff selection, and understandably so, it's the biggest thing in college football right now. But one story you might have missed, the University of Alabama Birmingham won the Conference USA title just 4 years after they completely dropped football as a sport. Their victory over Middle Tennessee in the title game gave UAB their first 10-win season and their first Conference USA championship in school history. Like I said, the program was shut down before being reinstated and taking 2 years off. Here is the biggest thing that I take from this. Those kids that signed on at UAB, they had to work extremely hard to build that program up from the ground. Good for UAB, good for that coaching staff, and good for those kids, because I know how hard they had to work to take a program that was literally ground zero and build it back up into something that they have made this year. Congrats to UAB this year. Hey, let's move over to the NFL, because we did learn some things in the NFL this weekend, and the biggest thing we learned is that the Kansas City Chiefs have taken the biggest loss of their season, and no, it didn't happen on the playing field. On Friday, it was announced Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt was on a video, apparently, shoving and kicking a female in a hotel hallway back in February. He was immediately placed on the commissioner's list while the legal ramifications are sorted out. But the Chiefs didn't wait for a ruling. They cut Hunt immediately, stating that they had asked him about the incident and that he was dishonest with them about what had happened. Hunt has since come out and he said the Chiefs were right to cut him. He made a mistake. Now, we of course are getting a few reactions to this story. The good thing about it was it took place on Friday, so everybody kind of took the weekend, didn't really talk about it as much. Now I'm sure you're going to get hammered with Kareem Hunt talk all day today, all week this week. There are a few things coming out about this that I don't necessarily agree with. One is that Hunt is never going to play again. Like Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice, he is going to be done as a football player. I don't believe that at all. Because Rice was no longer all that talented. He was well past his prime. Eventually, someone is going to sign Kareem Hunt and they will say, hey, he's undergone counseling. He's made donations to battered women's shelters or whatever. And they'll sign him and they'll be like a little bit of, hey, what are you signing him for? He's a jerk and he beat up. And then it'll go away because Kareem Hunt is still a very, very talented football player. Remember this. And I know it's easy to forget. Your talent must outweigh your baggage. Eventually, for Kareem Hunt, it will. Right now, it won't. And he's on that commissioner's list. So he's suspended. He can't play or practice right now anyways. No one's going to sign him immediately, but someone will sign him. His career's not over. Someone's going to sign him because he is talented. And your talent must outweigh your baggage. It will. Second, there was this notion that the NFL or the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever, they should have acted on this incident a long time ago. And I understand that. If they knew about it, they should have. But isn't this a police matter? The NFL isn't the FBI. It sounds like they reached out to the woman involved and she wouldn't ever respond to them. Which makes me wonder, I don't know, was she paid to stay quiet? Did they pay her off and say, hey, if the NFL contacts you, you've got to walk the other way? I don't know. But my question would be more of, why didn't the hotel or why didn't the police act on this sooner? They're the ones that should have acted on it. I can't ask the NFL to be the police. They're not the police. They're trying to run a professional football league. They are not in the business of arresting people. That's up to the police. If the police didn't do anything, the league doesn't know until TMZ releases the video. And finally, slow down on the Kansas City Chiefs being the morality police. And hey, did you see what they did? Did you see how responsible they were? Darn it, they won't tolerate that. They just cut him immediately. That's the way the Chiefs operate. Remember this. Tyreek Hill has never missed a snap. And what he did when he was at Oklahoma State, when he choked and punched his pregnant girlfriend, yeah, that might be just a hair worse than what we saw in the video here. So slow down on Kansas City being the moral compass of the league. I'm not sure that's how that went. You know what the lesson here is, boys and girls? Make sure you don't get caught on video. Because if you get caught on video, you're probably going to get fired. Staying in the NFL, we did also learn that parody is alive and well in the NFL. And I know that we already know that, but wow, did parody rear its ugly head in a number of games on Sunday. The Carolina Panthers, they were finally going to right the ship playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? I mean, the Bucs defense is awful. Carolina needs to get out of this terrible tailspin they're in. They'll get things going on the right track on Sunday, right? No. Cam Newton throws to the wrong team, not two, not three, but four times, and the Bucs give Carolina their fourth loss in a row. That wasn't all. The Green Bay Packers were hosting the Arizona Cardinals with a chance to get back into the playoff race. This should be an easy win, and that Arizona defense, it should cure what has been ailing quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And you know, Rodgers wasn't terrible on Sunday, but Green Bay converted on just 3 of 14 third downs. The Cardinals somehow go into Lambeau and beat the Packers 20-17. Yeah, and then immediately following the game, the Packers fired head coach Mike McCarthy after 13 seasons. It looks like offensive coordinator Joe Philbin will serve as the interim coach. You know, the Packers have now fallen to 4-7-1. It's the first time since Aaron Rodgers' first season as a starter that they are going to miss the playoffs without him suffering a major injury. That is not exactly how the Packers thought this day was going to go yesterday, is it? Green Bay, your season's officially over. The Indianapolis Colts have been coming on. They have won 5 games in a row. They go to Jacksonville for what should be a win against the 3-8 Jaguars. But the Jaguars defense actually showed up on Sunday. They shut out Andrew Luck and the Colts. They somehow beat Indy 6-0 on the 150 passing yards of new starting quarterback Cody Kessler. You know what this makes me think? It makes me think the Jags defense just wanted Blake Bortles to be benched, because as soon as he was sat down, all of a sudden the defense shows up. Still not done though, because the 8-3 Chicago Bears had also won 5 games in a row. They were facing the 3-8 New York Giants, and they're going to win this game, even though they have to play with backup quarterback Chase Daniel, who is in for injured quarterback Mitch Trubisky. But the Giants get 125 yards rushing from running back Saquon Barkley. They intercept Chase Daniel twice, and somehow the New York Giants, the 3-8 New York Giants, beat the Bears 30-27 in overtime. Is it bad that I'm rooting for the Giants to keep winning so that maybe they'll stick with Eli Manning in the offseason for another year? I know. It's sick. It's twisted. But I'm still doing it. Hey, here's the thing. In the NFL, there are no guarantees. Every single team is getting paid. If you sleep on an opponent, if you bring less than your A game, you might get beat. And it doesn't matter how much of an underdog you are. On any given Sunday in this crazy league, you just might go home with an L. Hey, coming back, we need to finish up what we learned from the weekend in sports. And don't forget, there was a heavyweight title fight on Saturday night. What did we learn from what was a, let's just say, an interesting fight? So let's finish up with what we learned from the weekend in sports. And the final thing that I learned from this weekend was that heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, Yeah, he's not as good as most all-fight fans wish that he was. On Saturday night, Deontay Wilder, who was 40-0, fought British heavyweight Tyson Fury, who entered the fight with a 27-0 record. This was easily the second biggest fight of the year after that Canelo Alvarez-Gennady Golovkin rematch. Now, Wilder nearly knocked Fury out in the 12th round with a hard knockdown. But Fury, who was completely out of boxing for 3 years, outboxed Wilder for much of the night. In the end, we got a split draw decision, so Wilder retains his belt, and Fury retains the lineal title. Of course, both fighters are already saying they want a rematch, and that's fine. It wasn't a bad fight. But all the fight fans and all the fight experts that have been building Deontay Wilder into being one of the top fighters in the world right now, you've got to be disappointed. You couldn't beat a guy that went out and partied for 3 full years and was completely out of the sport? How in the world are you going to beat someone like Anthony Joshua or any other true, real heavyweight contender? I am still not overly impressed with Deontay Wilder. He's a big guy. Make no mistake. He's got heavy hands, but I'm watching him fight on Saturday night. He is not an overly skilled boxer. Tyson Fury is scrappy. He's got some boxing skills, but I don't know that he's that great. And he somehow fought Wilder to a draw. If you are a Wilder fan, you had to be disappointed. I watched a good portion of this fight. It could have went either way. I thought Fury dominated him, outboxing him for most of the fight. I thought Wilder knocked Fury down twice, and at the end, nearly had him knocked out. I could see it being a draw. Would I really want to see it again? Honestly, probably not. I'd rather watch a better fight. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we just might have to run down a guest that we're always kind of chasing to see if we can have him come on and talk a number of different things on the show. Might have a little bit of a different week here for you at the Daily Dose. Trust me, you are going to enjoy it though. Have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. If you need to finish up some of that holiday shopping, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Get that holiday shopping done with some Daily Dose gear. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.